We are continuing our study in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And as most of you know, whenever we have a communion service on the first Sunday of the month, we're packing a whole lot more into the morning. So I have finally learned after all these years that whatever sermon I'm preparing for Communion Sunday will be a two-Sunday sermon, or a three or four. So we're going to begin this focus this morning, but I know that we're going to continue it next Sunday. If you'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we looked last week at verse 13, where Paul is thanking God for the fact that the believers there are immersed in the Word of God, that when they heard the Word of God, they received it as truth. They received it from God. They didn't try to parse it and slice it up and eliminate parts that were uncomfortable or difficult. They received as truth the Word of God and the impact that it had in their lives. And that follows Paul in verses 10 and 11, saying, you guys know this about Paul and Silas and Timothy. You know this about us, that when we came to you, we were passionate about urging you toward a goal. We were exhorting you and encouraging you and imploring you. He's using those very strong, passionate words to say, we weren't passive about this. We were urging something with all the passion we possessed and in our partnership with God to accomplish something in you. And that thing we were aiming for was made possible because you were ready to receive the Word of God for what it really is, the truth from God. But I want us to go back up to verse 12. You know, if we keep going backwards, it'll take a long time. But so be it. We're going back up to verse 12 because there's something that I think is worth our pondering, our noticing and our pondering together. Because that thing that he was imploring and encouraging and challenging them to aim for, and that he says their reception of the Word of God made possible, is this part in verse 12. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And so there's, whoops. First I need to erase. So as we're looking at this verse, a couple of words obviously really jump out in terms of central meaning to this passage. And the first one is walk. He says, what I'm imploring and encouraging, I'm begging, I'm pleading, and I'm working toward and pouring passion into is a walk. That there would be something about your life that is accomplished out of his imploring and out of that receiving of the Word of God. And he uses the word walk, your walk. And it's worth just pausing and recognizing this, and I think we sort of intuit it, but it's worth capturing it on purpose. That when God chooses this word, and we're going to see that he uses this word, God uses this word throughout the New Testament. It's not just Paul, other writers in the New Testament, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking. He keeps going to this idea of a walk. And there are several things that we get to recognize that grow out of God choosing to use the word walk. And one is that it's talking about consistent movement. But particularly, in terms of the way God uses it, consistent movement forward. And in fact, some translations, when they deal with this word, want to use this idea so it fits. Your progress. And I like that because it's not just consistency of behavior. Your walk, the walk that God designed for your life and my life, isn't just consistent behavior. It includes that. God does actually aim for us to reach a point of stable maturity in a variety of areas where somebody could look into your life, look into my life, and they would see a consistency of behavior. that they would see consistency of character. They would see a flavor of choices that becomes predictable. So that's part of our walk, is just the consistency. But another layer of this walk is that it's movement forward. It's progress. It's growth. And just so we're clear, that's going to be a goal for the rest of your life. That's going to be a goal for the rest of my life. And we know that, but it's worth every now and then, like on an almost daily basis, agreeing with God on that truth. Father, this is about me moving forward. This walk with you, this relationship of love with you, this my time in the Word, my time in fellowship with other believers, my time in ministry, whatever that ministry might involve, whether it's a ministry that I've been assigned with a title or whether it's simply the ministry of my life intersecting other people's lives, that I want to be in agreement, Father, that my life will keep moving forward. And as we look at the teachings wrapped around the idea of our walk, we're going to see the provisions and the parameters, in a sense, the skeleton and the skin and the muscle that God's trying to put to this idea of a walk. But it's consistent movement forward. It's progress. It's growth. So there's another word that sort of jumps out. We would walk in a manner worthy. And in this particular passage, the walk that he's calling us to walk worthy of is worthy of God. And again, this idea of worthiness, you get to look at your life, you get to look at my life, we get to look at each other's lives, and with this incredible, humbling idea in mind. That he's saying a walk in our life, a consistency of movement that fits his majesty. Now, the reason I say humbling is because of the recognition it'll never look perfectly that way. Nobody will look at my life, nobody will look at your life and go, wow, I see a perfect vision of the majesty of God. But what they should be able to say is what I see is going in that direction. It fits. The fact that it's growing and pointing in that direction, it fits with that majestic God. And obviously it goes beyond that to all the issues of God's character. Everything that we could recognize and describe of God's character, that my walk is moving me forward in a way that fits him. It fits. He and I could hang out together comfortably because the direction I'm moving in fits his character, fits his majesty, fits his style, fits his priorities. Not perfectly, but increasingly so through time. So a walk worthy, and in this passage, worthy of God himself. Now flip over to Colossians chapter 1, which Artem read for us this morning. And it was a long chapter, way more ideas in there than we can harvest in a few minutes that actually do apply very directly to what we're talking about. But let's look particularly at verses, starting at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One thing that's pretty humbling and intimidating about Paul is he can pack about 50 ideas into one sentence. Because in the original Greek, that's all one sentence. That's all one sentence. And there are so many layers to this. But he's saying, I know something about you. I know of your faith in Christ. And since I've known about your faith in Christ, I haven't stopped praying for you. And here's part of what I'm praying for you. And it applies to this walk. Here he's saying that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So it's the same idea. Worthy of God. Worthy of the Lord. A walk that fits being with him and hanging out with him and reflecting him. But he adds a few layers to it here because he starts out in verse 9 that walk that's worthy starts with knowledge. Wisdom and understanding. And so part of the recognition for your life and my life, and this is one reason, you know, I hope you were all paying attention when the announcements were made. Because there are numerous opportunities to get plugged into Bible study and prayer and fellowship. And they happen at different times of the day and different days of the week. Opportunities for men, opportunities for women. I won't repeat all those opportunities right now. But you get to figure this out and pursue this, that my life will be richer and my growth will be more consistent. My growth will be more predictable if I am intentionally plugged into the body of Christ, where I get to grapple with the Word of God with other believers who are also seeking to grapple with the Word of God and understand it and live it. So this is not a history book. This is a growth book. Boy, I would like to go down another bunny trail on this, but the recognition of all the different nourishment words that are used for this, that this is bread, this is meat, this is water, this is milk. That's like, you know, a 7-course meal there. And other words as well, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the words that come from the mouth of God. This is our nourishment for growth. And we know that. We're a Bible church. We talk about it frequently. But the challenge for me and the challenge for you is, am I growing in my knowledge, my wisdom, and my understanding of this word? That goes way beyond how many Bible stories I know or how many Bible names I know or whether I can even spell half of them correctly. But am I getting the principles of truth that change my choices? Am I absorbing the perspective of God's heart and mind so that in a particular moment of temptation or a particular moment of opportunity or a particular moment of challenge in a relationship, I do something different this time than I did last time or the last 50 times, because this time I'm wiser in the ways of God than I was before. This time I'm more immersed in my agreement with God and the wisdom and the joy of His ways, even though I'm really used to my way. I'm used to my ways. I've grown up with me my entire life. And the easiest thing in the world for you and I to do is to live today just as comfortably with me as I lived it yesterday. And this walk does not allow that to be my mindset. God does not allow me that mindset. He really is saying, I want you to be predicting your transformation. Now, while I'm saying those words, that's a challenge for us. Because that's a challenge for you right now and for me right now to examine our conversation with God and say, Father, do I think in a way that predicts my continuing transformation into your character? Do I think that way? When I'm in the Word of God, when I'm at that Bible study or that prayer meeting, when I'm just reading a chapter before I go to bed, or I'm reading my morning devotions, when I'm doing whatever I do in the Word, and when I'm doing whatever I do in fellowship, and when I come on Sunday mornings, am I actually saying, God, I am willing to be changed. I'm really comfortable with the way I am, but I'm willing to be changed. I'm willing to change the way I think about something. I'm willing to change the way I respond to something. I'm willing to be changed. Because that's what He's calling us to in this, that knowledge and wisdom and understanding are valuable because they lead to change. This isn't just stuff I gather so I can be smarter. This is stuff I gather so I can be transformed. That the me of a year from now, really, seriously, the me of a year from now is supposed to be different than the me of today. The you of a year from now is supposed to be different than the you of today. I hope y'all are able to read mine so that even when I say things poorly, you know how beautifully I meant them to sound. But he goes on with this, and he says, the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. And this, again, we bump into this thought so frequently in the New Testament, which shouldn't surprise us. This takes it into the personal. That this walk that you and I are called for is an interpersonal walk with a God who's looking at your choices, looking at your attitude through the day and going, I like that. That pleases me. That's beautiful to me. Not that's perfectly sinless, but I love the direction you're going in. I love the attitude you're choosing. It pleases me. So just as in John 8:29, Jesus said, I always do the thing that pleases the Father. That's the focus and the mindset that he's bringing to this walk, is we're not, this is not a walk of following the rules. We're going to see that there is a rule to this walk. We'll get to that next week. There is a rule to this walk, but it's not 50 rules. And that this walk is a personal walk where we keep looking at the Father we're walking with. And I recognize that's challenging. Again, we don't think that way in the flesh. We actually have to nourish an attitude of awareness. I'm going through my day in partnership with the living God who's right beside me, and he enjoys being right beside me. I don't have to ask God. You know, when Stephen was talking about, you know, we pray for mercy, but in this context of believers who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, the second we ask for mercy, we can be praising him and thanking him for the certainty of mercy. And this thing of, am I with God? Is he with me? I'll pray that prayer many times. Oh God, please be with me. I've usually done something wrong. I prayed that a lot during my teenage years. You know, dear God, please be with me. I prayed that a lot yesterday. So that recognition that I need God with me, and I get to ask for that. Please be with me. But I better be this wise and this aware to say, and Father, thank you that it is absolute certainty that you are with me. Now, there are going to be dark moments in your life. We've all experienced these. I think if a believer lives long enough, we will all experience this moment. And I hear it every week in the counseling office. God has gone away. God is distant. I'm alone. He's not here. I'm praying to the ceiling. And part of this recognition is those feelings, if you are a believer who has put your faith in Jesus Christ, those feelings are a lie. They feel real, but they are doctrinally incorrect. Because this is the God who says, I'm with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So when you're facing that feeling, we do get to say, Father, that feeling is wrong. Thank you that I'm with you and you're with me. And now that we're together, I want the next choice to please you. I want the next thing I say, the next thing I do, the next thing I think, the next thing I choose to dwell on. I may not always get to choose. In fact, I frequently don't. And you frequently don't get to choose the next idea or thought that pops into your head. But I have great power and authority in Jesus Christ to answer that thought, to answer that feeling with truth. And that's the moment that pleases him. It's when the world or the circumstances or your history or the enemy himself planted a possibility in front of you. What did you choose? And if you chose to please me, I will be delighted in that for the rest of eternity. So he's putting this walk, this consistency of moving forward, of growing and progressing, that we're pleasing him. But he also says this, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, this is different, and we know this, but it's always worth remembering, because it's really amazing to me that once we have learned a word's meaning in one context, one of the ways the enemy tries to confuse us is to get us to bend other contexts to fit it. So when we know we're not saved by works, but by grace, he's not saying, now go save yourself. What he's saying is, because you're in this thing where you're pleasing him, now you are equipped to go do a good work. Turn to Ephesians 2:10. Very familiar passage, but the same idea here in Ephesians 2:10. So he has just made that statement that, for by grace you have been saved by faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. He's just made that real clear. But in verse 10, he goes on to say this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And again, he's bringing that idea of work and a walk together. And he's saying, you get to predict your forward movement. You get to predict your progress as I give you opportunity to do things. And I planned way ahead of time the things that you're going to be doing. Now, one of the things that flows out of this truth is then how important your intimacy with God and my intimacy with God matters. Because I could have my idea of the day, and by the simple fact that I'm in fellowship with God, not because I'm a prophet or a priest, but because I'm a son or daughter of God in communication with God, that God can direct my attention to the thing he desires next. He's really able to do that. For a heart that's willing to be led, he's really able to do that. So he's saying, I prepared stuff for you, and a lot of that stuff you would never even predict. Now, one of the things that I know probably almost all of you, if not all of you who are believers, almost all of you could tell stories where something went wrong, where you were delayed on something, your car broke down, you took the wrong turn, whatever. And then a conversation ensued. You met someone. You connected with someone. You had opportunity to help someone. And you recognize that, you know what? That thing that I thought was an interruption or a delay or a break in the plan, now I can look back in partnership with God and go, that was the plan. That was the plan. There was a good work for me to do in terms of loving someone or helping someone or encouraging someone or being at the right place at the right time to connect in a deeper way with someone, that if I'd been able to do my agenda, I would have gone sliding right past that opportunity. I would have got to my meeting on time, but I would have missed that conversation. I would have got all my stuff done, but I would have been too busy and too efficient to stop and help someone. And this gets to be part of our peacefulness, that God is saying, you know what, when you walk with me and your heart is willing, I know when to take a preordained detour. The thing is, from the Father's perspective, it's not a detour. It's the route. It's the journey. It's the place he wanted us. So that this recognition, I want to keep moving forward, Father, where my agenda, is always second to your agenda. Even when my agenda is good and wise and seems like actually a very nice plan, that I hold my plans lightly so that you're free to change directions and lead me as part of my walk, my consistent movement forward. I'm ready to be detoured and delayed from my perspective to get some really majestic stuff done for your kingdom. Even if I have no idea all the layers to it. A simple conversation done in grace could change the direction of somebody's life, and you might never know it, but God knew, I simply have a son and her daughter who's willing to be used. I can get this done. That's part of our walk, that there are good works prepared beforehand. Now, we're going to pause there. We're going to pause there. And that means you're going to have to come back next week. So even if you weren't planning to come back next week, too bad, got to come back.
If people weren't here this week, are they allowed to come next week?
Oh, absolutely. And then you have to catch them up on what they missed today. We're going to continue looking at this walk. And again, this is a beautiful idea woven through the whole New Testament with different layers to it. They give us different perspectives and different enlightenment on this so we think more like God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time in worship. Father, thank you for your Spirit present and delighted as we celebrated your Son's death today. Father, thank you that you are delighted that we are a church of prayer, and in fact that you're always seeking to take us deeper into prayer. Father, help us to treasure our prayer time together, that we recognize that we're never just audience or observers, but we're all participants in that prayer. Father, I pray that as we hear other people bring up their concerns, that we would always devote our hearts and our minds to remember those concerns, to give our week to continuing to pray for those concerns. And Father, thank you that we get to pray about them together here in fellowship. And then thank you for our moments in your word. Father, I ask that your Spirit would help me to be more aware of my walk this week. Help each one of us to be more aware of the consistency of moving forward with you through the week. That we'd recognize that you intend this to be a joyful process. We get to be with you and you love to be with us. And Father, there have to be, just by the nature of damage in the human lives around us, there have to be at least a few in this room that find it very difficult to believe that you enjoy being with them. But you do. So Father, we pray that your Spirit would take that truth deep, to heal past wounds, to heal broken relationship. That different from every human father, every human mother, every human friend, every human companion and partner, you are 100% faithful and committed, 100% persistent and present. You really are the friend we can count on at all times. You really are the Father who treasures us 24/7. And that we would learn to walk with that awareness. Father, help us this week. Father, if last week there were long stretches of time where we were unaware of your presence and unaware of choosing to please you, that you would help us to be challenged by your Spirit reminding us that we would choose to be aware of your presence and we would choose to walk in a way that pleases you. Again, Father, thank you that Jesus Christ didn't just die for us, but now he's alive, powerful, interceding for us, but also alive and dwelling within us. Help us to choose this and agree with this, Father, so that we keep growing with power, with strength. Thank you very much, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.